Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So yesterday, if you were listening, I mentioned that this week, this month is very important because it focuses on trying to create awareness about the donation of organs and tissue for transplants and the need for donors, especially in the minority community. So blessed to have with us today a gentleman who has firsthand experience and is trying to work to generate that information and that awareness himself, and his name is Bobby Howard. He's the director of the Multicultural Donation of Education Program for LifeLink of Georgia, and he's with the Donate Life organization, one of the organizations I mentioned and posted yesterday. Mr. Howard, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful.
Thank you for reaching back out. You know, I've tried to put some feelers out because I wanted to make sure that there was someone that could truly speak on it. Right now, this is kind of personal for me because I have a relative from childhood. You know, we were close, and he is in need of a kidney right now. But you have a story of your own, so I was wondering if you wouldn't mind going ahead and sharing that.
Sure. First of all, I just want to thank you for having me and having the insight to host a program of this magnitude today and the need for more people of color to become organ and tissue donors. So my story starts off a little bit. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was a pretty good athlete, got a full football scholarship to Indiana University. Was drafted into the NFL, was drafted by Philadelphia Eagles, but played most of my career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and finished up with the Green Bay Packers. Shortly after I got out of the game in 1993, I was very sick one day and had a headache that was out of this world. My blood pressure at that time was 278 over 167, which was extremely high, and I was 28 years old. At that time, I was told that my kidneys had failed and I was in kidney failure. And knowing a little bit about it, you know, my mother had a kidney transplant in 1976 and unfortunately she died in 1977. So I had a little bit of knowledge of the whole process of being on dialysis and the transplant. But I thought things had moved forward and I thought I can get a transplant the next day. But that wasn't how it worked. So going through the whole process of dialysis and going through that where my weight went from 230 pounds a day, I started dialysis, and 7.5 months later when I received my transplant, I was down to 172 pounds. And the thing that sticks with me the most when I was going through that whole process, I had a sort of like a revelation that come over me. And it was like I had this out-of-body experience in the sense that I was told by a higher power that I needed to do something to make an impact on lives of people of color, because my thought was me going through this whole ordeal and the education and all those things, it didn't matter. But if I wasn't taking care of myself, I found myself in this position. So I had kind of made a vow to myself that no matter what happens to me, I would do everything in my power so as many people wouldn't get in the same predicament that I was. So when I received my transplant, I was very fortunate to land a job at LifeLink of Georgia, which we recover all the organs and tissues for transplants in the state of Georgia. And I started out, you know, sort of on the bottom of the rung and kind of worked my way up to now that I've been the director. I've been at LifeLink a little over 25 and a half years now. I've had my transplant October 25th will make 26 years that I've had my kidney transplant. And so it's truly been a blessing. And my life's goal and my life mission is to make sure that people don't go through what I went through. But on the other side is that I do know that we are here for a short period of time, and that if we can do anything we can to help our fellow brothers and sisters, I believe that's what we should do. And one of the great things that we can do when our life is over, we can leave something of us behind so someone else could benefit. And that's what happened to me. And I am just so fortunate and blessed that someone cared about me enough that they made that decision when their life was over that they would become an organ and tissue donor.
Okay, so you know I've got a lot of questions. I got to grill you on some stuff. So, first, and I have to say go Bucks and Eagles. We're a Bucks and Eagles household right here. So,
good.
So, first, tell me about your lifestyle. Were you a drinker? Were you a smoker? Were you engaged in activities that were not healthy?
No, it wasn't any of that. You know, for me, it was more hereditary. But I knew once I started dialysis and they were telling me all the symptoms and things that I could have done differently, it was more my diet.
Okay.
It was, you know, being, you know, I mean, you know, I love fried chicken. I love ribs. I love, you know, all the great things that we love. But the sodium count, I didn't pay attention to the sodium count back then. I just ate it because it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I mentioned earlier, you know, my mother had a transplant in 76 and died in 77. I have a niece who's living today. She has a kidney transplant. I have another niece who passed away about 15 years ago waiting for a kidney transplant. I have a nephew who's waiting for a kidney transplant. And I have another niece who just started dialysis maybe about 3 months ago. So I think there's something in our gene pool that's causing family members to suffer this. But now that I know a whole lot more about actually how the body works, and especially how the kidney works, there were some things that I look back that I probably could have done differently. I'm not saying that would have prevented it, but I probably could have done some things differently, and that was strictly for me the diet.
You know, the heredity thing, though, is the thing that caught me off guard when you talked about it because, you know, I've never really known whether or not heredity played a role in something like that. I thought it was more of a lifestyle thing or just something that malfunctions, just, you know, a system. And so let me ask you this. Prior to you having gone through this, how many people, other than family members, how many people did you know that had experienced something like this?
Zero.
And I think that's the hard part is no one really knows anybody you think you don't know anyone that has gone through something like this. So talk about that.
Well, I think as you look back about life and what it is, I think we're all private people. And who wants to go around sharing what their medical condition is and what they're feeling? Mm-hmm. So when you look at this whole thing about the dialysis part, if you're suffering and all those things, one thing that we do know, high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, that runs rampant in the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
Those are causes to organ failure. So now when you start looking around, I guess if you start with ask questions, or even if you're in your neighborhood and you're driving around, all you do is look up and see if there's a dialysis clinic. If there's a dialysis clinic in your neighborhood, that means there's a problem in your city or in your community.
And I have noticed more of those. That has been very interesting to me. You know, how you see certain stores or certain fast food places on every corner. Now I see a lot of these dialysis places kind of almost like that, which is scary.
Yes. Yes. And you know, and going back to your question, when you think about, I didn't know anyone, and I was a lot younger, you know, when my mother was going through it. But when it happened to me, everything came back. And then as I start matriculating into the community, everything started making sense to me of, you know, of the type of foods that we eat and all those sort of things. But the biggest thing you have, when you have socioeconomic challenges, you have a lack of health care, you have food deserts, you have all these kind of things of where do you put your money to be healthy? And so all those things are contributors to our health. And unfortunately, dialysis, kidney failure, heart disease, it's really affecting our communities. So now in this day and age, it's very simple. We have internet now. I can put dialysis in there. It gives me everything that I need to know. Because we have social media, because we have the advancement of television, anything 25 years ago, you couldn't put on television today what we have. I mean, what we have on television today 25 years ago. So all these things have changed, and now that when you look at healthcare is a big issue now. Back then it wasn't a big issue, so we just lived.
And, you know, and now I think one of the things that has improved our dynamics with our family now. In some cases, I know a lot of people say it's kind of gotten worse, but in some cases it's better. Because, you know, in the quote-unquote olden days, you know, you had the children were seen and not heard, and there were things you did not discuss with children. And now, I know when I was coming up, at least now, my mom was one of those people that she talked to me. She wanted me to know stuff in the event that something happened to her. So she always had me informed. So I knew from a little girl that my mom took blood pressure pills. I knew what blood pressure pills she was taking. If someone asked me, I knew the dosage almost, you know, and just a variety of things that I know was weird in some families, but it was important. And so now people are sharing, and some people say oversharing, and there's some things you do overshare on, but, you know, the important things, it's important. I've been telling my husband, you know, one of the things that he needs to do that I've done is in the computer, in a certain folder, in my files, there's a list of my medications.
Yes.
So if so I'm not asking you to memorize all of my medications. I'm just asking you to go on the computer and look for the list of my medications in case something happens to me and someone needs to know what I take, how many you know, what the dosage is, what I'm allergic to, and all that kind of stuff. And you can just print it out on a piece of paper, you know. But it's important to have that knowledge about what's going on with our health.
Yes, and that's the key. And I think because we have social media, we have technology, and then we have the advancement in education in our community as well, is that now more information is at our fingertips. And so the information is out there, and unfortunately sometimes we have to go get it instead of it being brought to us. So that's what I try to do in my work here in Atlanta and some of the things I do across the country with the other organizations is I can't wait for people to come get it. I have to take the information to the people.
Oh, true. And I've just been, just like I said, I'm intrigued with this right now. And we're at our breaking point. We're past our break point. So we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Bobby Howard. We are talking about his journey, and we hope you'll pay attention. And if you know someone, because you probably do and don't realize it, who is on a journey in terms of needing a kidney, you'll pay more attention, hopefully, to your family members to see who's had transplants. Because, like I was saying, you know, the whole thing about having it in terms of in the family never occurred to me, but he kind of, it dawned on him once he had it. So please join the conversation if you can. The number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chillin'?
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Mr. Bobby Howard, and we are talking about the importance of knowing about and spreading the word about transplantation of organs, eyes and tissue and stuff, and especially in the minority community. This month is Minority Donor Awareness Month, or I may have that name all wrong and backwards and everything, but we'll get to it. We'll talk about it some more, and we're here with Mr. Bobby Howard. So you said 28. Is that did I hear that correctly?
Yes, I've had my transplant.
Uh-huh.
It'll be 26 years on October 25th.
26 years. Okay. So how has your life, I guess, changed or lifestyle changed, I guess I want to know, in terms of you were talking about the foods that you used to like, and you're not the only one. But how has your life changed, and was it a difficult transition? Hello? Oh, I don't know if I got lost or he got lost. Anyways.
He dropped off.
He dropped. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll
so,
open his mic back up when he gets back in.
Okay. All right. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I don't know
Mr.
what happened
Howard.
There.
That's all
yes.
right. Welcome back. Welcome back. So what I was asking is, so, you know, you were talking before about the things you liked and loved, as most of us do, in terms of certain types of foods and things. How did your lifestyle change? How has it been since the transplant, you know, the before and after picture, I guess I want to say, and was it a difficult transition?
No, it was not a difficult transition of things that I had to change if I wanted to live. I just had to not do what I used to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm like most people. I love fried chicken. I love the good things of food. But I had to do things in moderation. One of the things I don't do a lot of is salt. And so, you know, I do more vegetables than I used to do. You know, I could have say a chicken leg, and I'll have 3 other vegetables on the plate, and I'm fine with that. I drink tons and tons of water. You know, I haven't never been a heavy drinker. I never smoked or none of those things, so that was never a worry. But the thing that I think that I went back to that has really given me longevity with my transplant is that I'm in the gym constantly. I'm in the gym 3 to 4 days a week. And mm-hmm. I don't have the strength that I used to have when I played football and all those things, but there's things I need to do. And I always look at it, I want to keep my heart healthy. I want to keep my blood flowing and all those things. And of course, when you do those things, it comes with a slimmer body and all those things, but that's not my goal. My goal was to have a healthy heart. So I mm-hmm. had to change a lot of those things. Even, you know, I'm in bed by 9:30 every night, but I'm up mm-hmm. very early. I believe in getting my rest now. Before, when mm-hmm. I was younger, Heck, I could be up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, get up at 6, and I'd be ready to go.
Okay. So I guess what I'm curious about, and I want to get your opinion on this. When we say we like good food, part of that, I think, comes from how we've grown up eating or how we've been trained to eat. Should we maybe start at some earlier age with our children in terms of defining what good food is and maybe changing that perception? What are your thoughts?
You hit the nail right on the head. That's where it starts at. It starts at home. And don't get me wrong, I do a lot of speaking, and I know I talk about healthy eating and those type of things, and I speak to a lot of churches, and I'm a firm believer. You know, when you go to church, there's always some kind of program. They always feed you. So I asked some of my minister friends, I said, why do we always have to have fried chicken?
Yes.
It's always fried chicken. I said, why do we always have to have fried chicken? And I believe that it's like you train somebody of the foods that they eat. And then as you get older, you make your choices of what you like and don't like. So if we train not to have fried chicken all the time, what's wrong with baking it or grilling it and making it more healthier? What's wrong with taking the skin off sometimes? All those things. So when you start doing that, and getting back to your point, when you do that at a younger age, if we have more salads, and I know in my household, I had my salad when I was in high school. I was at a banquet. I had no idea what to do with it.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
When I got a salad. And because that wasn't a part of our household. And so when I first got it, and I'm looking around, so I just did what everybody else did. They put some dressing on, I put some dressing on, so I ate it. Now, over the years, I've learned that the only salad dressing that I eat, it has to be a vinegar base, oil and vinegar base. Because looking at labels, I know what gets through my system a lot faster compared to the other things. So, you know, as you grow, you start learning of what's good for your body. And, you know, it's like you see folks who will say, well, I'm on a diet, and they'll get a salad, and they put all this, ranch and blue cheese, and get a Diet Coke. What's the purpose? You know, so if we teach from a younger age and we teach portion control, and I'll never forget, I was at a conference, and I heard a gentleman speak about nutrition. And his word was, you should eat enough to get you to the next meal. Don't eat to get to full.
Right.
And that stuck in my head, and that's how I eat now. I eat to get me enough to the next meal. So if I eat at 12 noon, and for me, I don't eat past 7 o'clock. So I know whatever I eat at noon has to get me to 6 p.m.
You're telling me.
And that's portion control.
I have been learning that too, and it's not hard. How should I put this? To me, it's not hard if you're doing it by yourself. It's harder when you have other people that aren't. Well, you know, I find myself saying, okay, I need to get in here and I need to cook because I need to eat between 6 and 7 because I'm not supposed to eat after 7 o'clock. I get a weird look, you know, or some comment, well, you know, you say you're supposed to eat by 7 o'clock. And sometimes I miss the mark, but, you know, I want it to be more frequently that I do eat by 7 than not. And then hopefully eventually it'll be every day or, you know, not necessarily every other day or, you know, every few days or whatever, you know. So, yeah, but I'm so glad you're saying that. Because, and then you being in the position that you're in, having played football, you know, having been high profile, it's a good thing to have someone like you out there spreading the word about how, you know, these things occur and how you should eat. So let me ask you this. So other members of your family, now that your mom, God rest her soul, has gone through this, and you say you have a cousin now that's gone through this. Now that you've gone through this and you've had a couple of other, what are your other family members, what are they doing?
Total opposite.
Oh, no.
It's a total opposite. It's difficult sometimes, you know, when I do go, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh originally, when I do go home and I talk to them and, you know, I'll have a niece say, Uncle Pop, why do you look different than I do? What are you doing? And I'm always saying everything comes back to your diet and choices.
Right.
And when you make those choices of how you want to be, then you got to live with that choice. So for me, it was a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that I wanted to make was going to be the best for Bobby Howard. And I can't control what the next person does. So I know if I wanted to live, I know what changes that I had to make. And, you know, even when I talk to, you know, I've so many friends that I have now and acquaintances who've had transplants, Bobby, what do I need to do so I could lose weight or I could look like you or be as healthy as you? And I give them the same thing. I said, you got to change. It's a lifestyle change. You can't do it for 1 week and say, oh, that don't taste right to me, so I got to start doing this. You know, it's you got to make that change. And, you know, and you can't really concentrate on what someone else is doing because you are responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to live and be healthy, then you have to make those changes and those sacrifices to live the way that you want to live and can't have someone else dictate to you how you should be. Now, they eat the way they like to eat. If they like to exercise, that's fine. But I know what I have to do. So because I'm responsible for me. No
right.
one else is responsible for me. I'm responsible for me. So if I want to be healthy, then I have to make that sacrifice for Bobby Howard to be healthy. If I want to go to the gym, I have to make that sacrifice for me. When I was going to the gym, I was in the gym at 5 a.m. in the morning. And that's because that's what I want to do. I know the benefits of what it does for me if I exercise. If I get past 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't go to the gym. I can't work out because I've trained myself to do it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
the same like with the diet and food, yeah.
Yeah, I've read different things about what, in terms of what time of day should you exercise, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I read some stuff that said, okay, you're supposed to exercise in the afternoon or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, you know, and I tried that for a little while, but I'm like, no, I can't do it. So I'm like you, because my husband gets up around 5 something to go to work. And I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and get up because I have a hard time going back to sleep sometimes anyway. So I'm like, let me go ahead. Get up, get my exercise in so that things come up during the day. That's one excuse I can't make. I've done my exercise. So, and I think the other thing we have to do too is to get away from how you look or, you know, to get to look like somebody else and stuff. You know, it's not all about looks. It's more about how you feel and how, and the longevity and
yes.
quality of your life. It's not all
yes.
about how you look. And we've got to really get away from the aesthetics of it and more about the healthiness of you know, making a transition toward a better lifestyle. So.
Yeah, because what it is, what you know, when you make those transitions to a better lifestyle, and I share often is that every young lady wasn't made to be a size 2, 4, 6, 8.
Mm-hmm.
Every man wasn't made to have a 32, 34-inch, 36-inch waist.
Mm-hmm.
So – but if you have a healthy heart and your heart is healthy and you worry about the overall health, you will feel good. And if you feel good, you'll look good. And if you look good, you play good. So, see, all those things run in parallel. But if you don't feel good internally, then
mm-hmm.
your whole day and your whole everything is slow and slumber. So there's those sacrifices you make to what your ultimate goal is. And those are things, and we have some who choose, okay, I want my lifestyle to be this way. I have some who feel their lifestyles are going to be that way. And so everyone has to find their happiness. What's that
mm-hmm.
place in their life or whatever it is that's going to make them be the best person that they can be? And some of them, you know, we have that higher motor. For me, as being a former athlete, it's a little easier for me because that's all I've done is train my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
it's a little easier, but it's nothing wrong with me encouraging someone else. If I was your trainer, worked out with you or ate with you, you may not start off doing it the way that I do it. But eventually you'll get to a point say, okay, I can do this. And it's that encouragement that we have to have. And it all those things fall in line of we have to be encouragers. We have to be supporters. We can't always tear each other down when we're not doing it the way that I think you should do it.
We're going to take a quick break. This week is National Minority Donor Awareness Week this week. And we are here with Mr. Bobby Howard, who is the Director of Multicultural Donation Education Program of LifeLink of Georgia. And this is G's Power Hour. I've never had so good entertainment. We will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. Bobby Howard, who is the survivor of the kidney donation. I wanted to ask you, Mr. Howard, about finding a donor for you. How was that process? Was it difficult? Was it relatively easy? What could have been made it better? Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, sure. I think when you look at it, and I think the understanding is I didn't have to per se find one for me. I was on the transplant waiting list, and the organizations that I work for now, and their encouragement of getting people to register, I had a deceased donor. And so it meant I was placed on a waiting list, and based on blood type and matching and all those type of things, that's how it worked. Now, I was only on dialysis 7.5 months, which is a very quick time to receive a transplant. I was the fourth person that they called for the kidney that I have. The first person they called, he never responded. The second person they called was on a cruise and couldn't get back in time. The third person was a young lady that was actually in the hospital, but in her getting her prep for surgery, they found something else going on, and she told them, "Don't fix me now. Don't wait. I don't want that kidney to go to waste. Give it to somebody else." And I was the person, the fourth person for that particular kidney. So now that's on the deceased donation side. There's ways now on the living donation side. Now, if I had, for me, I'm the youngest of 11. So I had siblings who could have been a match for me. The siblings that did get tested, because I have a different father, they were not a match for me. The siblings that I had who got tested. Now, when I was in Georgia, I didn't know anybody to ask, or, you know, I hadn't befriended anyone to see if they would donate one for me. So you do have the living donation side. So if you were waiting and you had a family member, you had a friend, or even strangers can donate to you if they fit that certain criteria to be a match for you. So it all depends what route you go when it comes to donation. And one of the things I try to encourage people who don't have a lot of knowledge but have a little bit of knowledge about becoming an organ and tissue donor, go ahead and register to become an organ donor, because if it were you who were waiting or needed, you would want someone to donate for you.
Okay, so I've got questions about trying to, I guess, debunk some myths or stereotypes or whatever. I know one of the things, especially in certain communities, is about not wanting to donate because I want all of my parts to be intact for when that time comes.
I knew you were going with that one. I knew you were where you were going. Well, this is what I say, is that most all major religions support organ and tissue donation. It's a personal decision. Now, when you start talking about certain asks, and you know, I speak at a lot of churches. I'm involved with a lot of religious organizations, and I always ask folks all the time, is that if you are a true Christian, I'm a Christian, if you're a true Christian and you're a true believer, donation should not be a hesitation, because if you read your Bible and know that it was already done and God just gave you the power, you just have to understand it and interpret it in the way. And it's very simple. When God took the rib from Adam to create the most beautiful creature in the world, that's a woman. That's what donation is. He took something from one to give life to something else. What's donation? I'm going to take your kidney and give it to me. You gave Bobby new life. That's a parallel.
That's
so it's already blessed.
That's interesting.
It's already blessed.
Now, that's, I had not heard that analogy before, but that is so true. That is so interesting. So, yeah. Okay, cool. I can get behind that. And then the other thing is, I think there are some questions or concerns about life expectancy. So could you talk a little bit about that?
You mean the life expectancy of the person who receives?
Person who receives, and of the person who, I guess, now has to live off of, if it's a living donor, has to maybe live off of one kidney or something like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. For example, in using me, I only have one kidney that functions. And that's the kidney that I got from the person who passed away. I only have one kidney. I've been living for 25 plus years with it. I do very well. I have no problem. I go to the restroom. There's nothing wrong with me except I have to take medication. I don't have no other health issues. So now for someone who gives while they're living, there is testing mechanisms that are in place that they do to make sure that you're not at risk, or you're not at risk that if you did give, that your life would be in danger, or that you may suffer organ failure. So there's a lot of things that are in place. I don't want to say to assure, but there's so much testing and technology and all these things that go into that. So the life expectancy of someone who receives, we don't know. I have been truly blessed. You know, you have some folks. I have a young man that I mentor. He had his kidney for maybe 6 years. It failed. He just got a new one maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. And so everyone's different. I've met people, you know, who've had their kidney transplant for 30-plus years. Everyone is different. But I truly believe it all goes back to how you live your life. I can't do what I used to do eating-wise. I can't do that, because I'll be putting myself right back in the same boat. So I had to make some changes, because when you're on dialysis and your kidneys don't work, there is a diet that they give you to be on dialysis because your kidneys aren't functioning. So you can't eat and put all that sodium and red meat and all those things into your system. So there's a strict, stringent diet that you have to follow. One of the things that I did was took that diet and put my own twist on it, better for me.
So now I want to ask, go back to when you found out that you had to have a transplant. How did you receive the news, and what was your, I guess, biggest apprehension?
I was devastated because I was so young, and I thought my life was over. And I had to dig deep, you know, into my spiritual being and really get down on my knees and pray. And then it dawned on me, it's like, well, why not me? Why not me? Why can't I be a voice? Why can't I be someone to help those who are less fortunate than I was? And once I got over the devastation and knowing that I had to go on dialysis, I truly didn't worry about the transplant. And I would tell folks, if it happens, it happens, but I'm not going to let this stop me from living my life. And I have this thing about the mind, is that our mind is very powerful. Sometimes we don't use a lot, but I'm a firm believer, if our mind tells our body that we're sick, our body's going to be sick. So I just went to my treatments. I mean, I was coaching high school football at the time. You know, I still was in the gym. I didn't have the energy to do a lot of the things, but I still did them because I wanted to keep my life as normal as it was prior to me starting.
Okay. So, okay, let's try to open some minds out there. What are the key things when you go out and let's say you do a presentation or whatever, or you're trying to, you maybe even on a one-on-one that you're trying to encourage someone to either get on a donor list or I think you can do it in a living will or trust or something like that. What are the things that you're telling people when you go out?
Well, I give them the bare facts. I give them facts of how many people of color, especially in the African American community, are on the waiting list. I let them know how long it takes for someone who's African American to receive a transplant. Based on a small number of African Americans we have donating, is that we have to do a better job. I also ask them, you know, do they know someone who's on dialysis, have high blood pressure, diabetes? And most of the time, people have answers, and then they're most of the time very positive that they do know someone. And I share with them is that we have to do better, is that we can give back to our fellow man. And if we can do that, because our life is over, why not leave a legacy behind? And that legacy of life, that gift of life that you can leave behind, those are some of the things that I hone on. Also talk about what we spoke about earlier, taking care of ourselves, because we don't want to be on that list because we haven't done our part in the beginning. Changing our diet, exercising. I talk about healthy living as well when I do presentation. But the overall decision is the individual's. My role is to give you the information, provide you with the best information so you can make the best decision for you and your family.
Okay, we're going to take our final break. We're here with Mr. Bobby Howard. We want to encourage you to consider being an organ donor, especially if you are a minority, because we have a hard time getting donors, matching donors for the people that need it. And like I said, right now I have a cousin who's in Virginia. He's going through some Centara, trying to get a kidney transplant. He's been trying to get this transplant long before COVID, and I did want to ask you a little bit about that when we come. So we'll do that when we come back. The number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer, clean better or your money back, guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget to join us Friday. We have our economist, Paul Lee Shelton, that's back with us to give us an update on jobs and all of the stuff that's going on with the economy right now. But right now, we are talking to Mr. Bobby Howard. He's the director of Multicultural Donation, the Education Program for LifeLink of Georgia. He has survived a kidney disease and received a kidney transplant, former NFL player, and just trying to get the word out about, you know, us doing what we need to do to get more minority donors and taking better care of ourselves so we don't need, God willing, more minority donors. But like you were saying in your case, Mr. Howard, some of it was genetic. So there comes a point where all you have to do is put it in God's hands and hopefully someone good. And because I was listening to your story about how you were fourth in line for this donation, and it to me, that was like, that kidney was meant for you, whether or not you were first or fourth in line. That seemed like a divine intervention to me. But that's just me.
That's what I've been told. That's what I've been told so many times.
When you were saying that, I'm like, nah, that was just meant to happen. It just, you know, no matter whether you were first or fourth in line, that kidney was supposed to have been yours. God, I think God wanted you to have that. And, you know, the lady that, you know, was before you, you know, she just had to work some things out. And, she, you know, God willing, she was able to get what she needed. I wanted to ask you, though, what's the main resistance that you tend to get?
The main resistance that we get is the fear of, many years ago it was about religion, the question you had asked me earlier. I don't get that too much anymore now. What I get now is the mistrust of healthcare. Is that so many people feel that if they do sign up to be an organ donor, and let's say they were in an accident, that healthcare professionals are not going to do everything to save their life. They'll just let them die and take their organs. And that's not how it works. So that's the biggest apprehension I get now, and it's mistrust. And, you know, it's validated. I understand the mistrust, but then understanding the same sense that healthcare professionals are here to save your life. And they want you to live as long as life that you're meant to be. But when your life is over, if you've made that decision to become an organ and tissue donor, it makes that whole process a lot smoother and easier for your family, because that's who we will have to work with, is your family. So if you make that decision beforehand, that conversation isn't as stressful as it is if you haven't made that decision, because now you put that decision in your family member's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you really need to, we put off a lot of these decisions.
Yes.
And it does cause a lot of friction, anxiousness, a whole bunch of negative feelings that could be avoided. I know there was a discussion going on in one of my cousin's families about, you know, whether or not to be cremated or to, you know, have a burial or whatever. And one person saying, well, they want to be cremated, and the other person saying, well, as long as I'm alive, you won't be cremated, you know, and stuff like that. That stuff has to be put in writing. It just does, unfortunately, it seems like it's kind of a clinical way to go about assessing each situation. Down the friction, it has to be put in writing.
And you know, too, when you have those open discussions and you talk things, then you know how people feel. And then, like I said, you put those things down in writing and you have them and you make those decisions. And when you talk about this whole month of encouraging more minorities to become a part of this whole donation process, because when you look at these numbers nationally, African Americans make up roughly about 35% of the folks waiting for life-saving transplants in this country. But yet on the side of the donation side, we only donate about 12 to 13%, which is right in line with the overall population in this country. But it's skewed on the other end. So, you know, we're not putting enough into the system because we need to take more out of the system. So that's why this big month that we have, and this is the first year that we've had National Minority Donor Awareness Month. It started off as one day, then it moved to a week, and then this year we put it for a month because there's so much education out there. There's so much, like you're having this conversation with me today, and once again, I'm so thankful because it's very important to our community. I think sometimes we don't want to have these tough conversations with our family members, but using your platform to get the message out. Now, if you have followers, they may call you later and say, hey, that was interesting. How can I get more information, or whatever it may be? So these platforms reach such a greater number of people.
Yeah. You know, we have to have uncomfortable conversations. We just do. Because when we start having the uncomfortable conversations, it makes it less uncomfortable, you know.
You know what? You know what? Mm-hmm. this really isn't an uncomfortable conversation, because when you look at the reality to life, we are born to all die.
But we don't see it like that.
But we should, because it's a part of life. And I think that's when that time comes, that's why there's so many hysterics. Now, when you have accidents and those kind of things, that's totally different. But when you have these kind of discussions of, when my life is over, this is what I want to happen, now you have control. Mm-hmm. Now people have to follow exactly what you wanted. So on my driver's license, and my family knows, when I leave, I want to be an organ donor if my organs are viable enough or healthy enough to be given to someone else. But my wishes are known. So when you have those discussions, so now it's not, okay, this is what he wanted, let's go on and give him what he wants. You know, and we have to be respectful, because that's what truly life is about. It's my life. I dare you change with the decision that I want for me.
You're so right. You're so right. And when it is, like I say, when it's in writing, I have to say, it makes it easier on the living.
Yes.
My mother had a lot of stuff pre-planned. She had a lot of stuff in writing. She had a lot of stuff taken care of before she passed. So when she passed, and it was sudden, when she passed, she made it really, I'm an only child, and she made it really easy for me, you know what I mean, as easy as something like that can be. So we have to take these steps. I think in Florida you can put it on your driver's license that is something, in the event that something happens, your organs can get donated. Is that a nationwide thing, or is that just something that's specific to the
Each state has their own way of having their own registry, but there is also a national registration. So most places have it set up where, you know, you when you go to renew your driver's license, you get it done there. But there's a national website. It's registerme.org, and you can go there to register. If you have an iPhone, if you go into your healthy section on your iPhone about your health app, you can go in there and register on your iPhone. There's websites that are out there that people can go to. Like I know, you know, with LifeLink, we do have an office in Tampa, Florida, as well. You can go to LifeLinkFoundation.org and go to the website there, and it will lead you to where you can go ahead and register. So there's a lot of places you can register, and you don't have to wait to go get your driver's license renewed.
Okay, and as you were talking, I found the registerme.org, and I am posting that as we speak on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So just want everybody to know, if you are considering it, it is being posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So what is there, like, an age criteria, age range?
There is no age for organ donation.
Really?
No age limit at all. Yes. And you know, speaking from the Georgia standpoint, since I've been at LifeLink, our youngest organ donor, to my knowledge, was an 18-hour-old baby that was a donor. And our oldest was 88 donor. So because people live in longer and healthier lifestyles, you know, if their organs are good enough to be transplanted into someone else that will extend their life a little bit longer, that's, so there's no age limit. Now, when you're talking about tissue donation, and now the criteria is a little different with tissue donation, and there is an age donation. When I'm talking about tissue, I'm talking about your bone, ligament, skin, and all those things. Those are life-enhancing, that they're going to improve your quality of life and not save your life on most tissue. And then you have eyes as well.
Okay. We got about a minute or so left. Is there something that we didn't cover that you really want to get out there that people should know?
Sure. I just want, well, first of all, I wanted to thank you and thank you for having me on your show today. And then I want to share with your listening audience. I know we've talked about a lot, and I know sometimes that we may not have all the information. I strongly encourage you to
go to any website or just Google organ donation. You'll receive a lot of information. But one thing that I want everyone to take away, if you hadn't heard anything else of what we talked about or discussed about organ and tissue donation, think about it. If we sat by and did absolutely nothing, zero lives will be saved. So we must do our part. We must do our part that we are able to help contribute to the existence of mankind, and that's through organ and tissue donation.
Mr. Bobby Howard, thank you so much for taking the time out today, and I appreciate you getting back to me and agreeing to be on the show, because God knows we could have probably used more time to talk about this. So hopefully we've encouraged, if we can encourage just one more person, that's one more than we had. So I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank
have
you.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too.
God bless you, and God bless your work. And thank you all
thank
for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day. Be well, be safe, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.